You're with Joe and Sabrina. Roots and Shoots, 720 ABC Radio Perth and WA.
And a big hello to our favourite gardening guru, Sabrina Hahn. G'day, Sabby.
Hello, Joe. Not such a good gardening day.
Oh, no.
It's a little bit toasty warm.
Just a teeny weeny bit. But you are dressed resplendently in a banksia flower. Is that what that is? No, it's a wattle.
It's actually a grevillea.
A grevillea.
But you were so close.
I was so not close at all, but you're very kind.
So close.
I knew what it was in my head somewhere.
That's exactly
it's all
right.
gone. It's all gone. It's all gone. I was out in the garden with the youngest, who is the animal obsessed one.
Oh, yes.
She's got this raft of quails that she's, you know, hatched from eggs and all the things.
So tasty.
And the eggs. Our neighbours were boiling the eggs.
Oh, the quail eggs.
The button quails. I mean, they're so tiny. I don't know that you get much out of an egg. Is it true that they've got more protein than chicken eggs?
I wouldn't know. I don't
Why not?
Know.
You know all the things.
Oh, I'm not big on – I don't know much about quails.
Okay. Anyway, in the garden, I think it was about 7:30, and it was utterly delightful last night.
Oh, last night was beautiful. And tonight around, 8:30, 9, it'll be okay until about 5 tomorrow morning.
Oh, someone sent in a message with the temp where they were and just, it was not fun, sorry.
Oh, the Pilbara and Kalgoorlie are not going to be nice.
47 in S-Ben. Thanks, Ivan.
Oh.
Now, can I just note that you were absolutely grooving away to that Run DMC.
Love that song. Loved it.
As was Bridget, as was Jason in the truck. A lot of love. Gianne in Como says best track she's heard this week. We did have a few detractors, but
it was a banger, Ash, without a doubt.
Okay. Now, before we go to the calls, 1300 222 720 is, of course, the number that you need. A little bit of interesting research regarding soil. Now, it's of no surprise to you, is it?
That, None at all.
Soil is so important.
It's not only is it important, it's noisy down there. And so this research has They've actually been looking at, they've been monitoring the noises in soil. So the whole research is about you're looking at the health of the planet via what's below your feet. And we know that soil is an extremely complex thing, and there are literally billions upon billions upon billions of microscopic life. And then you've got all the larger forms. So you've got things like all the protozoa, and you've got worms. And so when you look at the activity that's in soil, particularly with things like microscopic fungi that actually feeds around the soil, connects with other things, connects with plant roots.
And talk to each other?
And they talk to each other. So these chemical signals that go through all this microscopic fungi creates vibrations in the soil, and those chemical signals are shared among plant roots. And then anything that consumes any of the bacteria or the protozoa in there makes a sound when it's being consumed, and then of course they poo it out because everything that's living has waste. So there's heaps of noise that goes on under the soil.
And this is what these researchers at the University of Queensland have been doing. They have been listening to the soil as an indicator of global health.
Yeah, and recording the sounds and the signals that are there. Do you know, we know so little about the Earth's crust, about the soil and how it all works. And another really fascinating part of research is they've now discovered that the bark on trees absorb carbon monoxide, and it's astonishing.
We do need to really respect these plants, don't we?
We need to know more about the planet, and this is going to be just mind-blowing research that's going on.
Thank you for running us through that. Hey, Mel's been in touch in Jero, 46.2 degrees. I hope you're staying cool up there. Let's quickly try and squeeze in Elizabeth's question before we get to the news, Sabby. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Hello, everybody. I have got four kangaroo paw plants struggling very much in the soil, and I want to put them in a pot.
Yes.
When?
Well, it's not 47 in Esperance today, is it, Elizabeth?
No, it's a beautiful day.
Okay. Then I would do it very soon. So just make sure that you've got a big enough pot that will take the root mass, because you want to try not to take all the soil away from the root system. So put them in a protected spot for the first week or two when you've repotted them. But honestly, Elizabeth, they thrive in pots.
Good. Yes, so I've got a blue one and a purple one that are.
Oh.
And this is a yellow one, and I want to save it from struggling.
Yep, I think that's a very good idea.
I've got native potting mix to put it in, right?
That is perfect, absolutely perfect.
Oh, Elizabeth, happy planting, and, yeah, keep those kangaroo paws. I'm terrible at growing kangaroo paws. I don't know
A lot of people are. They actually require a lot more water than people think. So, and the flowers fade once they're starved of water. So I water my kangaroo paws every 2 days.
Okay.
Round.
Good tips. Okay, Joanne, over to you.
Yeah, hi, girls. Hope you're keeping cool.
Oh, we are, and
my query is about a space that I've been watering to get some kikuyu and growing, which is very poor, sandy, grey sort of soil.
Yeah.
And with the heat, I've had these sort of I think they're toadstools, sort of puffball, they're round.
Yeah.
Quite a thick stalk, and then when they open up, they're flat, they have a sort of a crackly brown top, and then underneath they're white. And I just wonder, are they okay just leaving them, or do I need to pull them out?
Nah, just leave them, Joanne. They're little puffballs. It just means that you've got biology in the soil. So even though you've got gutless sandy soil, gutless sandy soil, you wouldn't be wanting to eat that with your bowl of porridge. So the mycelium that's underneath the ground is huge. So there's no point in pulling them up or doing anything. What I would recommend is get a wetting agent and put a little bit of loam or lawn mix on top so that there's a bit more oomph in your soil, and the lawn will spread much thicker and you'll get much better coverage. So a bit of that, wetting agent, bit of water. And a bit of loam.
Good luck with that, Joanne. John's in Bridgetown. G'day, John.
Hello. Sabrina often mentions the butt treatment for sawn-off trees.
Yeah.
And she uses blackberry spray, but there are a number of different blackberry sprays. I'm just wondering which particular chemical she's referring to.
Okay, so there's different brands, but they all have the same chemical. I think the license ran out a little while ago, so I think a lot of people can actually make it now, the blackberry killer. Basically, they're usually in glass jars because of the, you know, the type of chemical that's in it. So as long as you get the blackberry killer, then so it's triclopyr and butox ethanol in it.
No Clitorati.
No Clitorati.
Oh, what a shame.
No, because that's just for interest. Not to kill plants.
Good luck with that, John. Now, Olivia's trees, I don't think, are doing too well. Olivia, what's happening?
I'm just kind of regarding my trees. They're very small and they're natives. I'm not sure which ones they are, but they're just staying very small in my backyard. I know you need to know what type of them. I'm pretty sure that you planted them. Considering... Yeah, you're my mother-in-law.
Olivia!
Watering them.
Hang on, Olivia. I love that you are using ABC Radio Perth's talkback line. Is that how hard it is to get your mother-in-law to answer the phone to you? Come on.
No, she's actually here most days lately. The problem is she leaves me wetting agent by the tree and asks me to put it there when she's not here, and I just don't use it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes,
it's your bloody dogs, Olivia. It's those bloody dogs that you have in the backyard.
Oh, yes, I have dogs as well that dig up the trees, so she replants more trees.
That's right. I have to say Olivia is as bad as the gardening as I am trying to get on bloody Centrelink to get stuff done for my son.
Oh.
I tell you what, Olivia – getting gum trees established is much easier than getting a CRM from Centrelink. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, that is good to know. And I will let your proper listeners call up now and use the time. But I do appreciate that they will survive.
We need to rename this segment after that, Olivia. Oh, that was gold.
Well, look, okay. It was lovely to hear that laugh, and I'll talk to you later.
Oh, my goodness.
She's
okay.
A gem. She's an absolute gem. Worst gardener ever. I hope she's hung up now and didn't hear that. Worst gardener ever.
She doesn't
Olivia.
Need to be the best gardener she's got you as a mother-in-law.
Yeah, that's true. She's much better at all sorts of stuff that I'm really bad at.
Okay. Oh, no. James in Double View saying, what's a clitorati? Is it a rude word?
No. But no. It's definitely not a rude word. There is a climber called Clitoria, and they are using the chemical, the sap from the Clitoria plant, as a new wave of insecticides that does not kill all the beneficial little pollinators.
Okay.
Not a rude word. Have a look at the picture of the flower and you will see that it's very aptly named.
Let's head to Vic Park where Jack, I think, has had more success than me with her kangaroo paws. What's happening, Jack?
Hi, ladies. I think we all got a good laugh from Olivia then. I've got established paws that this year have grown really dull. Now, I've just heard you say, Sab, that you water yours every 2 days, so I start to do that. Should I be putting some native fertiliser on at the moment or just leave
it be? Are they established?
Yes.
Yep, absolutely. Go for it. Get the slow-release native fertiliser. They can handle that in summer as long as there's water. People just think because they're native plants that they're tough as tough, but in actual fact they're not that tough.
So some of my newer ones, which haven't flowered yet, they're probably 2 or 3 years old. Should I fertilise them now or wait till the heat's gone?
No, fertilise them now.
Oh, beautiful. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, Jack.
Good luck with that. Oh, Bremer Bay, that's where we want to be, Sabby. Oh, mates of mine have been down there last week. It is so spectacular. I'll never forget, we were there and there was a young bloke looking for abalone.
Huh?
And he brought one out and showed the kids, and watching them dance, you know, straight out of the water. It is such a stunning part of our state.
You just don't want to eat them when you see them like that.
No,
Whereas oysters, you go,
Nick, you're in Bremer Bay. What are the grasshoppers doing?
They're eating the new tips off my mandarin trees. They're making me angry. I just pulled a couple of their heads off.
You're lucky you can catch them. I try sometimes and they're just so quick.
I know, they fairly leap away. I like that you're taking their heads off, Nick. I think that's really good.
I thought you would.
Yeah. You know, the really big, big ones, the Valanga, the ones that are like racehorses, they make really good bait for fishing.
Oh.
Yeah, if you can catch them. So what can you do for them? Very little, because the little buggers hop and move very, very quickly.
What about diatomaceous earth? If I sprinkled that on the new shoots, would that slow them up, you think?
No, because the wings they're too tough and they're too big. It works for cockroaches in your drawers, though, like your cutlery drawers, not the ones that are underneath your knicker, you know, your pants.
Wear them.
Definitely don't use it without wearing them, that's for sure. You'll get a terrible bit of chafe. Diatomaceous earth is really good for the smaller stuff like mites and slaters and stuff like that. I think your grasshoppers are just going to go, try harder, Nick, try harder. Now, they do move on, and I tell you what loves eating them are wattle birds. Wattle birds.
They're so beautiful with that tongue.
Yeah, but you should see them attacking grasshoppers. They take on the big ones and then they bash them like kookaburras bash snakes. Wattle birds pick up the grasshoppers and just bash them to death and then eat them piece by piece.
Got many wattle birds down in Bremen, Nick?
Well, there would be.
Yeah, there's plenty. Yeah.
It's so
pretty raucous.
They actually really love grasshoppers and crickets.
Okay. They're going to be your friend. They're going to be your friend. Good luck, because you want the mandarins. Kay's in Midland and wants a bit of assistance with regard to her roses. Mm. Hello, Kay.
Hi, Joe. It's Kay that met you in Yagan Square. How are you?
Oh, lovely to hear from you, Kay. That was so lovely that you made your way down there. Good afternoon.
It was lovely, and you're such a lovely lady too. I thought, well, I've got to meet up with another flash lady in the ABC now. And hello, Sabrina, my love.
Hello, Kay. How lovely
How
to
you?
Hear. I'm very yes, well, thank
that's
you.
That's good. I love the little laughs and the few little bits. Anyway, it's my roses. Is it the heat that's got brown leaves, or is it lacking something?
Well, it could be the chili thrips, but it's definitely the heat.
I haven't had any trips, so I better not speak too soon.
Okay. Oh, I won't mention that dirty four-letter word. Get out there, wedding agent, and this is what everyone has to do. So once temperatures get around the 40-degree mark, veggies, especially tomatoes, you'll need to water in the morning and then again in the afternoon. And it's actually quite nice to go out sort of around 6 o'clock.
That's what I was saying with the quails. Yeah. You know, I ended up just giving the garden a bit of a hose down.
Yeah. And you can always hose yourself down and then you can put fluid inside yourself. So I like to do that with a hose in one hand, a beer in the other.
I was wondering what the drink of choice was going to be. I thought you might have said something else. Okay, good luck with that. We want the roses to come back. Before we move to the next caller, Sabby, Greg reckons he whacked one of those giant grasshoppers with a stick the other day and a raven came down out of the tree and ate it. He said it was so good on the raven. Everybody hates the grasshoppers.
Yeah. Even though they're extraordinary animals, I wish I could leap and fly all at the same time. So I've got those beautiful wings. They're sort of like...
Yeah, but they cause a little devastation.
Oh, they wipe out. When we were working up in the Kimberley, we had plagues of locusts and grasshoppers come through and they literally just ate the whole community, like just went through... The whole community.
No good. Stripped
everything.
1-300-222-720. If you've got a question for Sabby, give us a call. We do have a few lines free at the moment. Sarah's from Parkerville and you want some advice with trees, I think, Sarah?
Yes, please. Good afternoon, ladies. So I have pulled out some she oaks, Alca Serena Fraseriana.
Yeah.
Three of those because I planted them far too close to the house.
Okay. Yep.
So, and basically I need to know, because the clay is so hard and tough and they grew about 60 or maybe a meter tall, three of them.
Yep.
How deep was I supposed to pull to the roots? Because I just hope the roots then don't keep growing and stretching themselves and reach the pipes or anything like that.
So did you say they were peppermint trees, Sarah?
No. Aloca Serena.
Oh, Aloca Serena. Okay. Yeah. If you've cut down fairly deep, unlikely that they're going to reshoot. If they do reshoot, then you can just spray them with a herbicide or a blackberry and tree killer.
All right. So I was going to put in the holes, because the holes are quite large, I was going to put in the holes some frangipanis. I shouldn't do that, should I?
Well, you can once you make sure that the Aloca Serenas are not going to reshoot.
Yeah.
All right. But so if you can leave it for, say, another few months and then plant your frangipanis in the hole, that is no problem at all. And you need to fill the hole up with potting mix for the soil type you're in, Sarah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I will do that. Thank you, Sabrina.
Okay, thanks, Sarah.
Good luck. It is 14 to 3 on 720 ABC Perth and WA. Sabby's answering all your gardening questions. Let's chat strawberries. Mm. Russell, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you going, ladies?
Very well.
Excellent. You're probably going a lot better than my strawberries.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yeah. I think I've done everything right apart from pray.
Get out there and pray, mate.
Yeah, they're in raised beds. They've been fertilised, you know, good ground that they're in. They get watered twice a day. They are in full sun.
Yep.
But what's happening is the fruit's forming, and before it's halfway through forming, it just shrivels up. I've got a little bit of brown tips to the leaves.
Okay.
Mm.
I'm wondering if you've got mites that are getting stuck into the fruit when it's early forming.
Would they be visible?
No. Well, if you have a magnifying glass, you'll see them.
Yeah, right.
And the other thing that attacks them is thrips.
Yeah.
And they do the same when the fruit is first forming. They get in there and they suck all the cells out, so you get sort of a munted-looking strawberry. It doesn't develop into a proper strawberry.
No, it sure doesn't.
So I was talking a little while ago about diatomaceous earth. Now, it's really good for strawberries, but don't put the diatomaceous earth on the flower because it's not the flower, because it's deadly to bees.
To bees, yeah.
So if you can put it around the plant, because that will help kill the thrips and the mites.
Right.
Yep.
That sounds like a mighty good idea.
A jolly good plan. And then, Russell, you've got to ring us back and tell us if that worked.
I will.
Mm. And if you get a bumper crop, I'll make some strawberry jam for you.
Yum.
Well, I've got a bumper crop, but they look like more like a date or a prune than a strawberry.
That's not
squillions of fruit, but I could make a very nice dried arrangement out of them.
Oh, no, that is not what you want. That is
so
not
sad.
What you want. Now, Debbie is in Greenwood.
Yep.
And I don't think your rosemary's thriving, but I've found rosemary's fairly easy to grow. What's happened, Debbie?
Well, that's the class of gardener I am.
Help is at hand. Help is at hand, Debbie.
I would have thought that if you're a neglectful gardener, that your rosemary would be looking sensational.
Oh, well, maybe that's the problem. They're in two pots, full sun, and I do water them every day.
Yeah.
They're a bit spindly. They're just not thriving. They're just, I wouldn't pluck any off and put in my roast lamb. So
there'd be nothing left.
They are a bit green, or they're light green.
Yeah.
And the other pots beside them are not thriving. They're alive. I've got lily pillies and bay leaves all in pots.
Yeah.
All in full sun, and nothing's really getting bigger or thicker or.
Okay, so they're in potting mix. Now, the trick with potting mix is that the pots dry out really quickly. So you get all these massive air gaps in between the soil particles, and then the water just rips through so it doesn't get absorbed around the root system. So potting mix is made for root development, but there's too many air gaps. So that's why I always put in some compost or some of the yellow bricky sand just to fill those gaps in. So the pots around the outside of the pot, that heats up and the soil just gets really dry and nothing thrives. So I would get either some compost or some bricky sand. Put that in the pot, get the hose and you know, pummel it in with the hose when you're watering. that should make a big difference. And rosemary is really, really, it's so tough. But anything in a pot that gets those big air pockets in between the soil will not thrive, and it doesn't absorb the water.
Okay, Debbie, you, some pretty clear advice there, and hopefully you'll have some rosemary with your roast lamb. Now, just I'm going to try and squeeze in a question from the text line from Lee, whose fuchsia gum is being covered with this white infestation. She sent us through the photo.
Yep.
She says it's 18 months old, lots of new growth, but the little white dots are appearing. Do you know how she can treat it?
Yes, so that's a hard-bodied scale, and you quite often get that on the fuchsia gums. Now, the problem is it's hot, so you can't use the potassium soap spray. You can't use any oils because it burns the foliage. What you can use, depending how many are there, are your fingers. And you just go along and you squeeze all those little round sacs, and you'll get orange or red fingers. That's all the babies inside. So just squish, squish, squish. When it cools down, spray with a potassium soap spray, and then spray again a fortnight later.
There we have it. Sebby, thank you very much.
It is my absolute pleasure.
And I'm just going to picture you out there in the garden this evening, beer in hand.
Yep, hose in the other.
Giving everything a bit of a water.
Yes.
And Colin actually sent through a bit of a joke. It was Mark. And he says, how do you know when a gardener's excited?
I don't know.
They wet their plants.
Oh. I love it. I love that.
What more can we do than have a giggle? We'll chat again very soon.
We most definitely will.